Our culture is in a crisis, and the solution to that crisis is the gospel message. St. John's Seminary, the seminary of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, offers an online MA in pastoral ministry degree for anyone interested in receiving formation for ministry. This program helps students improve their knowledge of the Catholic intellectual tradition and develop practical skills for ministry. A studio with professional video, audio, and lighting equipment allows our students to have an enjoyable technological experience, a necessity for any online learning environment.
Anyone who is working in and around the Roman Catholic Church in North America needs an education like this. There's no way you could get this kind of education anywhere than at a seminary.
Our online Master of Arts in Pastoral Ministry offers you the chance to continue your education in ministry and designed to provide you with the knowledge, spiritual formation, and practical skills that you need to serve the family of God in our parishes, schools, and other ministries.
By grounding yourself in the intellectual tradition of the Catholic Church, you will be able to go out into this culture and leaven it with the good news. Welcome to the podcast. I have two guests today. My first is John Antony, who is the chair of the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, which is an organization officially affiliated with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. He is the chair for April 2022 until April 2025. He received his Eagle rank in 1968 as a member of Troop 74, chartered by St. Catherine of Siena, the cathedral in the Diocese of Allentown, Pennsylvania. My second guest is Father Gerard Gentleman Jr. He was ordained a priest of the Diocese of Rockville Center in June of 1997. Currently serving as the pastor of St. Rose of Lima Parish in Massapequa, New York, and is the national chaplain for the National Catholic Committee on Scouting. He achieved rank of Eagle Scout in 1986 as a member of the Suffolk County Council Troop 439. First of all, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
We are in the dog days of summer, and so there are a lot of young men and women right now out camping and scouting. And as we record this, there is the World Scout Jamboree, which is being held in Korea. I believe that's every 4 years, so that's kind of a big event going on in the scouting world. And so I wanted to have a conversation with you. I think scouting is an important part of the lives of young men and women. But of course, as you know better than I do, this is not something that gets a lot of attention in our public discourse, international media, and I frankly think that's really a shame. So I wanted to shed a little bit of light on that. So I want to talk about scouting. I want to talk about Catholic scouting and what this does for young men and women. So why don't we just start with the basics? John, why don't you tell us, what is scouting? What do kids do in scouting, and what do they learn?
Well, we're associated with the, as you mentioned, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. We're actually, the National Catholic Committee on Scouting is a church committee, not a Boy Scout committee. Now, how is it different from the Boy Scouts of America? Well, the local pastor and local bishop can make certain changes and rules that they can have. But what we're trying to do is for the young men and now women who are affiliated with scouting, we're teaching them leadership skills, we're teaching them character education, and we're trying to get them closer to our church and understanding it. That's why we have our religious emblems that you can earn, and we have 50 religious activity patches that they can also learn that's based on various religious aspects, like the rosary, the Eucharist, that type of thing. As a matter of fact, the National Catholic Committee on Scouting is a major player in the Eucharistic revival that's going to be in Indianapolis. If you go to their website, you'll see that we're a major sponsor, and we're going to have as many scouts as we can at that event. Did I answer your question?
Well, I certainly want to get to what is the National Catholic Committee on Scouting. But before we get to that, I just wanted to ask that start with the general question of what is scouting? You and I and Father Gerard, we know what scouting is. I was a boy, Cub Scout, and then a Boy Scout for a little bit, though I didn't get my Eagle rank. But not everybody knows what scouting is. So, Father Gerard, why don't you start with the basics? What is scouting? What do kids do in scouting? And what are the types of things that they learn?
Sure. Well, we can go all the way back to its foundation of Lord Baden-Powell, and then we could look at even the history here in the United States. But overall, scouting is it's a mission to work with young people. Baden-Powell saw that young people thrive when they have some order and structure, you know, in their lives, and so that's been the basic overall goal of scouting, to teach young people leadership, responsibility, order in their lives. So anyway, scouts are known for obviously their love for the outdoors. So scouts do a lot of camping, but it's in the context of camping that they learn skills, that they build leadership. You know, scouts are divided into on the Boy Scout level, as opposed to the younger level, which Cub Scouts are divided into patrols, and they're led by peer leaders. And so the overall goal of scouting is to give young people a chance to learn life skills, to learn to be leaders. And I would say that it's hard to completely definitively define what scouting is, because the Boy Scouts of America offer a program to local communities to care for their youth. So what scouting looks like in the context of a Catholic church that charters a unit may be different than a scout unit that's chartered by the local Lions Club or something, whatever the mission. So for us, you know, when we're chartering a unit, which means the troop or the pack is part of the parish's mission, there's going to be a lot of religious interpolation into what we do. So as John mentioned, scouts earn religious emblems in our context. But I know you wanted a brief, succinct answer, but you know, when people think about what scouting is, it's every kind of outreach that you can think of to young people. But the overall goals is helping them to obtain skills that will help them later in life, to grow in leadership, and to make an impact, make a difference in the world.
As I mentioned, I was a scout back in the 80s. Of course, lots of things in culture in general, our society has changed. I'm assuming that scouting has changed. So, John, how would you say scouting has changed in the past few decades? I had mentioned you had, in fact, gotten your Eagle Scout back in 1968. So you've seen decades worth of change. So how has scouting changed in the past few years?
Well, to begin with, our Cub Scout program is now more of a family program, where the whole family's involved. And, you know, brothers and sisters can now be in Cub Scouts together. Like my grandchildren, I have a grandson and a granddaughter. They're both in scouting. My granddaughter just crossed over to the Boy Scouts or Scouts BSA. And my grandson is still in Cub Scouting. But the family gets involved. And that's what I've seen. What's different from the 60s, where the Boy Scouts had a large membership population at that time, where it's now become more of a family program in the Cub Scout program. And now that we have young ladies in our Scouts BSA, they're given the opportunity to earn their Eagle Award, which is great. They're taking, if you take a look at the National Jamboree, they honored young ladies in scouting. They even now have a bronze statue of a young lady that earned their Eagle. You know, if you're a grandfather and your granddaughter is now an Eagle Scout, that's a whole different type of scenario than if it's just your grandson. And it's great. It's just, that's some of the things that have changed.
Father Gerard, so there is obviously, I guess we can just call it secular scouting. I came into full communion with the Catholic Church in 2011. So when I was a kid, I was not a Catholic. There are certainly many scouts who would participate in Boy Scouts of America or some other sort of secular group. And we'll talk later about the relationship between Boy Scouts of America as a particular organization and the Catholic Church. But how would you articulate what is Catholic Scouting? How is it different from secular Scouting? I mean, you mentioned you can get emblems. So I guess that obviously means there are things you can do and awards you can get. But that's, I would say, probably more of a symptom that underneath that there's got to be some sort of qualitative difference that Catholic Scouting forms young men and women differently than secular Scouting. So what is that difference?
Well, yeah, first I would, you know, it's all Scouting. It's Boy Scouts of America. We're all doing the same thing. And as I said before, it gets manifested in whatever group is chartering it. But I too grew up in a troop that was not affiliated with the church. So if you want to use the term secular, it was chartered by a local community. But within that, there was the lived example of leaders that were certainly committed to their faith. And through that, even though I wasn't in a Catholic troop, I did have the opportunity to earn religious emblems, just like members of other faiths in my troop could earn religious emblems for their particular faith. Now, what we're talking about when we talk about Catholic Scouting is the overall effort to use Scouting as a part of the church's mission to young people. So I would say, as John said in the beginning, we're a church committee that uses Scouting. So it's the church in mission into the secular world of Scouting. So a parish could charter, meaning own, a Catholic Boy Scout, a Boy Scout troop or a Cub Scout pack, and incorporate them into the mission of their parish. So, and just one other aspect of the parish's youth ministry. So a parish might have a Catholic youth organization that is focused on sports or a youth group or a faith formation program or altar servers. There are many different ways in which a parish tries to integrate young people into the life of the church. So using the Scouting program, so they're doing all the same things that Scouts are doing, going camping, doing service projects, all those kind of things that Scouts do, but they're part of the parish's mission. So therefore, too, it gives us the opportunity to not only teach the faith, but witness to the faith, and gives us a chance to be in the midst of the everyday world of kids. So our parish here, we charter a pack and a troop. All those kids are not Catholic. All those kids may not necessarily be practicing their faith, even if they are Catholic. But because they're attached to this parish, it's a part of the parish's mission. We are, you know, we're able to interact with them. Just like a kid wants to play basketball and the parish offers a basketball program, but now they're part of the parish, so they may attend mass. There may be, different various forms of prayer opportunities. They're going to be connected to the parish. So I hope I'm helping to focus that we're not something different from the Boy Scouts of America. We're taking the Boy Scouts of America's program and implementing it into the life of the church. I guess you've used the term secular Scouting. Well, we live in a secular world, you know, every day. Yeah. So every day when people come to mass, they're sent forth into the world. Come to a Boy Scout troop meeting, you're going to be, you know, sent out into the world, having been a part of the this parish's youth ministry that's being lived through Scouting. I hope I'm being clear, you know, in the answer to your question.
Yeah, good. Thank you. John, Father Gerard mentioned a minute ago the idea of some of the things that young men and women learn in Scouting. For example, he mentioned leadership skills. I'd like to get a little bit more deeper in this idea of formation. Certainly when I was a scout, I didn't really think about that. I just thought, you know, hey, we're going camping. And I didn't think about that I was being formed. But now, certainly as an adult, I recognize that's an integral part of scouting. So, John, what would you say is the ways or that Catholic Scouting help to form boys to become men, and as you'd mentioned earlier, now for girls to help form girls to become women?
Sure, we're a little sneaky. because what we do in our program, especially in the Boy Scout program, they have, Father Gerard mentioned, patrols, and they elect their own leaders. And that patrol leader has the responsibility of his patrol, and he's doing it and having fun. He's not realizing that he's being formed to be a leader. So, and then it goes upwards. It goes, and you have a senior patrolier who runs the scout troop. The scout Boy Scout program is youth run. The adults are there off to the side to answer questions that they may have, but they determine their program. They have, most scout troops, what they have is once a year program planning, where they lay out the program for the coming year. What do you guys want to do? And it's the senior patrol leader that runs that meeting. So that's where this leadership development is. And they're required to have a leadership role if they want to move up to Eagle. Every position that you can get, you know, tenderfoot, second class, you have to show some sort of leadership role. And that's what we do in scouting. Now, if you want to see how we influence young people in religion, you can go to our Facebook page, and we posted a copy of a TV news thing that talked about this young boy in Buffalo, who his mom was Jewish and his father was Catholic, or vice versa, and he hadn't decided what religion he was going into. So he was in the scouts. He earned the religious emblem, the Catholic religious emblem, and he became baptized as a result. He determined at that point that Catholicism was the way he wanted to spend the rest of his life. So those are some of the benefits that young people get. We bring them into the church to join the scout program, and they learn about Catholicism that way.
John, sticking with this idea of leadership, one thing that comes to mind, another thing I didn't think about when I was younger is, you know, leadership certainly important, and I definitely recognize that's one of the things that scouting does. How does scouting, though, sort of think about, well, we have, you know, people of different personalities in general, but specifically we often have those two categories of introvert and extrovert. John, how would you say scouting, when it forms young men and women into leadership roles or just forms them in general, deals with, you know, you've got some introverts and maybe they don't want to step up and be leaders, but you're forming them anyways. What are your thoughts on that?
But as I mentioned, as they move up within the ranks of scouting, they have to do some sort of leadership responsibility. Now, it could be the troop's librarian. It could be the troop's historian. And they give a report at the senior patrol council meetings. So there is a position for anybody, everybody.
Yeah. Introverts often prefer books.
Yeah.
So if you're an introvert, probably being the troops librarian would be the best bet for you.
Well, we also try to draw them out from that because
they
said they have to give a report.
Right. Yeah. A good leader, and that's where the adults come in, is doing exactly what John just said, you know, trying to help point the scout in a direction. Hey, why don't you think about this? Or, you know, another way leadership is manifested in the Boy Scout level is by being a den chief for the cub packs. So that sometimes it's a little easier to lead this group of 8-9-year-olds. And that helps me to grow as well. And I just wanted to point to something we were just talking before about leadership. How does it happen? And John mentioned sometimes you don't even know what's happening. I have a contemporary, someone I was in scouts with, just retired from his military career. And in his retirement ceremony, he referred to scouting and he referred to the fact that he learned to be a leader of his peers. And you know, so he said, so, you know, where it's the kids you hang out with in the neighborhood, it's the kids you're going to school with, it's the kids you're playing sports with. And all of a sudden, you know, you're being asked to lead them, help them make decisions. And he valued that, you know, made that note as he concluded his military career, saying that he learned that in scouting. And I just thought that was a great reflection on his part.
Father, I want to go a little bit more deeply into this idea of not just forming young men and women for leadership or character, but specifically when we talk Catholic scouting, formation in their faith. So obviously young men are women are formed in a variety of different ways. Think of being an altar server, for example. So how would you say that Catholic scouting forms men and women in their faith in a unique way that maybe altar servers aren't being formed? Or if you go to a Catholic school, again, you're being formed, but maybe Catholic scouting gives a different flavor, a different type of formation. How would you characterize that?
Well, here's the thing that we're doing on the national level that we encourage the local level. So each diocese hopefully would have a Catholic committee on scouting, and they would take from us the ideas that would help them to implement things. So for instance, a Catholic committee on scouting would maybe have an annual retreat. Where it could be a camping experience, could be just a gathering experience where scouts would come and learn specific things about their faith, or they may work on some religious activities. So that's one level where that happens, where you're specifically setting aside an opportunity for scouts to go deeper in their faith. And they may not be necessarily earning any kind of religious emblem or activity, but there's a chance to go on a retreat. If I could give you the supreme example of one of the things that we have done for almost 30 years now with the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, the Boy Scouts of America has a prime place of beauty out in North and New Mexico called the Philmont Scout Ranch. And scouts from all over the country, 15 to 20,000 kids every year, come out and do backpacking in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, 6,000 feet to 12,000 feet, a very adventurous program. We as the Catholic Committee about 30 years ago started something called the St. George Trek, where we take the Philmont program, kids are going out there to hike over the course of 10, 12 days, and we have made a retreat out of it. When, as John mentioned, adult leaders are involved in things to help kids be safe and direct them. So when young people from across the country are going out to Philmont to hike, you typically have a few adults with them, which they call advisors. So what we've done is we give the local Catholic communities and committees an opportunity to nominate a few scouts to come out to the Philmont Scout Ranch to do this high adventure backpacking program. And rather than a local leader with them, the adults that hike with them are priests, seminarians, and the girls' crews that we've sent out have had female religious hiking with them as well, too. And we do so programmatic things with them. We have, mass, and we've had adoration and confessions. But that is the supreme unique experience of literally walking with a young person. And I've directed the program and I've hiked it three different times. And there's nothing more unique and special than having that chance to be hiking 5-6 miles a day with a young person and just having that conversation, that has been on a kid's mind, or, Father, what made you think about being a priest, or asking something about. So, I think that's the utmost example of what we can do. But on the smaller level, a lot of different dioceses and things, that's what's happening, that it gives kids exposure to religious people that they might not have in another place.
John, you'd mentioned earlier that one of the changes that has happened in scouting, specifically the Boy Scouts of America, is in the past few years, you said that families are now more involved in a sort of formal way. Of course, families have always been involved, but also that the spaces used to be where you would have a space for boys and a space for girls. And there are strengths and weaknesses to that, to have those sort of separate spaces. But now, that those spaces are the same, that boys and girls can serve or participate in the same troops. So just like there would be strengths and weaknesses to having those separated spaces, there are likewise going to be strengths and weaknesses to these new spaces. So how would you articulate, now that there are no unique spaces for boys and girls, what are the strengths and the weaknesses to that?
Well, there is separation. You have an all-female scout troop and you have an all-male troop. They're not combined as a co-ed troop. Our venturing program, which starts at age 14, has been co-ed since 1991. So those are the older kids. And in Cub Scouting, you have separate girl dens and separate boy dens, but they all could be in the same cub pack. So I think, you know, it's interesting that the young men are being challenged by the young women who are very active. And, you know, I think we have about 1,000 young ladies that have earned their Eagle badge already. So I guess it was 2-3 years ago that they started girls allowing them to come in scouting. But Europe has been co-ed for years, the scouting program. So I don't see any problem with that.
I didn't say there are problems. I said there are strengths and there are weaknesses, like anything in life, right?
Sure.
I'm in a Catholic seminary. You know, this space is a male space. There are strengths to that. There are weaknesses to that. John, you said that the boys are challenged is the word that you used. How would you articulate or express what that challenge is now that they're in a space with young ladies?
Well, they go to a camporee and there's competition, and some of the young ladies are really good at whatever the knot tying competition is or the building of a bridge. And I think some of our leaders are a little amazed on how well the young ladies do. They are expecting something else and they got something even better. Yeah. I'm going to mention the fact that this is not Catholic scouting, but the Latter-day Saints have left scouting because they're a worldwide religious organization. They said if you were a male and in the church, you were automatically a scout. The advantage now that they have left is the young ladies can now join scouting. So you're a female member of the Latter-day Saints, you can now join the Boy Scouts, and they've had some of those young ladies have earned their Eagle badge, which they would never had earned if the church stayed with scouting. So the people that are in that religion who've been involved with scouting for many years can now see their granddaughters and sisters earn the Eagle badge, which is, you know, it's a great honor to get to be an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it makes a difference when you go for a job interview and you have that Eagle Scout on your resume, because they know if you're an Eagle Scout, you had to do an Eagle project, which means you had to do planning, you had to do leadership, you had to get scouts involved with your project. So they know that if you are an Eagle Scout, you had to go through all those challenges.
If I could add to it too, you know,
yeah, please,
I think
please,
you know, the question that you're asking about the separate spaces, very, very important, you know, and you know, even in our Catholic tradition, our education tradition, we do have single sex schools. So we might have an all male school and all girl schools. And those are important that they exist. And there are those separate spaces. And therefore, I think what I have seen in this evolution in scouting, in moving toward this family model, is it's recognizing, first of all, one of the challenges that happen in family life today, where maybe there's a single parent trying to, you know, run around and do a lot of different things for their kids, or just the family itself, even if there are two parents, that they're split in lots of different directions. And especially on the younger age, it is helpful that everybody is together. But as John mentioned, there's, you know, they're still working separately. And then as they mature and move toward the adolescent and teenage years, scouting has kept that separation. So you know, the girls are going to be their own troop and the boys are going to be their own troop, and maybe they'll come together and do certain things, but there is that respect still because they do need that. Even the program I was mentioning before, the St. George Trek, where the majority of the participants would be boys and there's always a crew of girls, we've been pretty clear on making sure that those aren't co-ed opportunities, although they that does happen. There are venturing crews that do go out to film out as co-ed, but we realize that the boys, the young men, the young ladies need that separation, bring them together at one point. But you're very right. And we would support that we, you know, that there still needs to be that space for people to grow in their maturity, just like there is in so many different aspects of life. You see it in the sports as well, too, that, you know, it's a single sex team, because each young people need their own opportunity to have that growth that comes from being with their peers.
Father, almost everyone in our culture today of different worldviews would agree that there's serious problems in our culture today. And certainly many different solutions have been offered to those. Many solutions are, you know, helpful and necessary. And a lot of those solutions that are proposed aren't really helpful at all. I've often thought to myself that if everyone in this and the next generation would become scouts, that, well, certainly not our culture wouldn't be cured of all of its ills, but that there'd be a much healthier society. And certainly scouting can't fix every problem, and we shouldn't make too grandiose of a claim for what scouting can do. But what might you say could be one or two things that the scouting might be able to do to address some of these cultural problems? I mean, you just mentioned one, problems with single parent families. What other sort of problems, societal problems that we have, do you think that scouting and Catholic scouting specifically can address?
I think, you know, in the world that we live in, there is a lot of divisiveness, right? And I think scouting provides an opportunity for unity. When you look at a typical scout unit, they're going to be kids that are athletes. They're going to be kids that are involved more in STEM kinds of things, science and technology. There are going to be kids that are involved in, you know, perhaps more suited in academics, just giving some different examples. But that's one of the great things that I've seen in scouting. And I know for myself too, that all those kids come together. And it's a unique place for that to happen, you know, that all these different abilities. So scouting, number one, I think offers an opportunity for a diverse group of young people to come together. I see it, you know, my own nephews are involved in scouting. I see it in them as well, too, that, you know, each of them has different interests. But then also the people that they're connected with. So I think that's a huge thing that scouting does offer, is that it brings kids together from all different kinds of experiences in life. And you know, we're becoming more and more isolated, more and more, I would say, siloed in who we're, you know, who we're associating with. And scouting, that's one thing I think that, you know, and the overall understanding of scouting is respect, you know, for another person. When we look at the points of the scout law and the scout oath, all those things deal with respect for oneself, respect for others, and also, you know, a duty to God and a reverence to God. So that's just what comes off the top of my head that I think of, you know, one of the societal issues that we have. And that's the, you know, it is a response to some of the divisiveness that we see in the world.
Yeah. John, I want to turn now specifically to the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, which is, I had mentioned you're the chair of that until April 2025. What exactly is that organization, and what does it do to support and promote scouting?
Sure. Every diocese has a diocesan committee on scouting. And what we do is to help them to expand scouting within their diocese. We develop religious activity patches. And I noticed, I told you there's about 50 of them now. And the one we're really pushing, as I mentioned earlier, is the Eucharistic Revival. We have a recognition program with a patch and rockers that go around them that anybody can earn. You don't have to be a scout. You don't have to be a youth. You could be a parent. A school can implement it. So we try to give leadership to that. We have scholarship program. We gave out $27,000 in scholarships this year to young men and women. There's a certain application and that type of thing you have to go through. So what I'll give you another example of what we're doing as a national committee. We will be at NCYC as a major player in Indianapolis. We've been doing this for at least 10 years, but the last three of them, we've been a major player in it. We're going to the National Catholic Education Association, and we were there this year to promote scouting to schools and how it could help with their situations at school. The education secretary for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishop, Mary Dunahue, told me that she loved scouting when she was a school principal, because I could always count on the scouts to put up the flag and take down the flag in their uniforms. We're going to be at the conference they're having on youth protection in St. Louis. We'll be there also. So we're trying to, as an organization, explain to the general population and the Catholic population on who Catholic Scouting is. We're not the group that meets in the church basement. We are active in the community, and this is what we can do. I'll give you an example. We have a new Episcopal liaison, Bishop Mike Fisher from Buffalo, who's an Eagle Scout. And he told me that if it wasn't for him earning his Avultare Dei, which is the religious award you can earn as a scout, he's not sure if he would have become a priest. Now, that's a very powerful statement for somebody to make, especially a bishop. So those are the things that we try to do to help the local diocese and to give them some direction.
I'd like to hear from both of you about your personal experiences as scouts. This was obviously many decades ago. When you think back to that, how do you think back on that experience? And then as you reflect on your life and the many years after being Boy Scouts, where do you see that influence in your own lives as you grew into men? Father Gerard, why don't we start with you?
Sure. And I'll just start by just dovetailing a little bit off of what John just spoke about. Your question to him was about what we do on a national level. And one of those things is also this direct relationship that we have with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And he mentioned Bishop Fisher. So, you know, we have this conversation back and forth, and we're able to have a direct access to our bishops. And I wanted to attach that because for me, there was a transition, you know, in how I was involved in scouting, in that as a youth, I participated in scouting. I'll talk about that in a second. But then it was in my coming to my own discernment and coming to the seminary that I began to be involved again in the church's relationship with scouting. And so for me, the fact that we have this relationship on a big level, you know, between the United States bishops and the Boy Scouts of America through us, and on the everyday level that priests and others are interacting with scouting. So that's been what's colored my adult life, you know, in scouting. It's been more about the relationship between the church and scouting. As a young person, you know, I try to remember, you know, how it all started. I think someone came into my second grade classroom and talked about Cub Scouts, and I knew my dad had been involved, and so, you know, I joined, and it was fun. We did lots of neat little things as Cub Scouts and everything. And then as I got to adolescence, I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue. I was interested in some other things, but we had an opportunity to interact with the boys in the Boy Scout troop. And particularly, you know, it was the encounter with one young boy who was about to be Eagle himself. And he just took an interest in us as the little kids, the Cubs. And that intrigued me. He invited me to all of us to his Eagle Court of Honor. And when I saw that, I said, I want to do this. I want to go on. I want to be a part of this. And my involvement as a young person was just such a blessed opportunity, because I got to grow, you know, in my own self. I am an introverted kind of person, so I learned, you know, about leadership. Our scoutmaster was a wonderful man, still is a wonderful man, who led our troop, and it was just his humility, his Catholicity, even though we were a secular troop, were really clear, you know. So, it was very, very life-giving to me. It made me, you know, I could see how I was growing and maturing. And also, I love the outdoors. I loved camping, you know, every month. That opportunity to just kind of be away from all the other distractions, in life. And I don't know if I would have made Eagle if I didn't always have in the back of my mind the inspiration of that one young man who invited us, you know. And I said I wanted to earn it for myself, but I knew that that's what, you know, started it all for me in scouting, that this goal was ahead. And I always have that in my life now, that something that was really hard, I was able to achieve. So, you know, there's a lot that I've brought forward, you know, in my life as a priest that came from scouting, the leadership, the service, servant leadership that comes from it. So, So like I said, the early part of my life in scouting as a young person was typical scouting stuff. As an adult, it's really has been the church's missioning into scouting and seeing it as an opportunity to be a priest in a way that was special to me.
John, tell me about your experience as a young man in scouting, and how did that shape you personally as you grew up?
I can't believe Father Gerard said he was an introvert. That's anyway. I was never a Cub Scout. My mom did not want to be a den leader. She had six kids. So I joined scouting when I was 11, and I never left. My dad said that if I got my Eagle, he would send me to Philmont, which I did. That was an incentive right there.
And what is Philmont?
Philmont is the scout ranch in New Mexico.
Okay.
Where I first tasted Dr. Pepper. Because it wasn't in, I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Allentown, Bethlehem. We didn't have Dr. Pepper then. So all through college, I worked at scout camps during the summer. I was ecology director. The day after I graduated from college, I started working for the Boy Scouts. I worked for the Boy Scouts for 38 years. And I retired 8 years ago. And the month that I retired, I got a phone call from a friend who wanted to have breakfast with me. And then I became part of the National Catholic Committee on Scouting, which is a lot different than, you know, what I did before, because it's more church related. And that's what I love about it, the Catholic Committee. So it was 59 years ago I joined scouting. So it's...
Does Dr. Pepper taste the same today as it did that first time that you tasted it?
No, they diluted it. It doesn't have as much sugar as it.
Really? Wow. Yeah. I did not expect you to say that. That stuff is so sugary. I expected you to say it has more sugar now.
No. This was, and that, you know, that's from Waco. That's where the factory is. Anyway.
Okay.
So my whole family's been involved in scouting. My son's an Eagle Scout. Mm-hmm. My daughter, was in venturing. They both went to the World Jamboree in Thailand. They both worked at the Philmont Scout Ranch for a summer. So we're a scouting family.
Father Gerard, talk about the sort of official relationship of the Catholic Church. And, you know, there are different scouting organizations, but specifically with the Boy Scouts of America. Some Catholics today, certainly not everyone, based on some decisions that have been made in the past few years of the Boy Scouts of America, I've become suspicious of it, and as not being in harmony with Catholic values. How would you respond to that criticism?
Well, thanks for asking that. And that's one of the things that I think has been missed in the narrative. So I've mentioned this word a couple of times, but I want to make clear that this is what we're talking about. So what the Boy Scouts of America offers is a chartered organization relationship. What does that mean? It means that when a Catholic parish decides that we're going to make scouting a part of our ministry to youth, The pastor of that parish has the ultimate responsibility and authority to make sure that that unit is living and acting in a way that is consistent with the life of the church. So what does that mean? It certainly means leadership, right? Where I, as the pastor that charters a troop, I have final approval of leadership. So if adults are not living a life that's consistent with the life and the morality of the church, that person is not going to be approved for leadership in a troop or a pack that's chartered by ourselves. Same thing goes as far as scouts are concerned. It's a little broader on that. You know, a young person is going through all different kinds of growth in life and deciding certain things and figuring things out in their lives. But the same expectation as far as morality is there for young people as well too. If a young person is not fitting into or rebelling against the church's understanding of life and the moral life of someone, that scouting is going to offer a place for that kid. That kid is really wants to still be a part of scouting. The group that's chartered by the local community center is the better place for that kid. So the point in me mentioning all that is, yes, there are real challenges, and the Boy Scouts themselves have said their approach has been, we want this program to be available to everyone. It's up to the chartering partners to decide, what is consistent with their mission. So that's the number one thing that, and we have had to work our way through that as a national committee. Before I had this particular leadership role, I certainly was part of the conversations where we had to articulate that and work our way through that. And that's one of the advantages that we have in having a bishop who is appointed by the president of the USCCB to be our liaison. And it's that direct communication that helps. So we have traditionally held a breakfast every fall when the bishops meet. And it's an opportunity for one-on-one conversation with bishops. Hey, I've heard this. So what is this about? So we can speak directly, to them. Ultimately, in the end, a bishop's going to make their own decision about what programming is going to happen, in their diocese. But I think the charter relationship issue is what helps us to separate ourselves and define ourselves. One of our previous liaisons used to say, as we were facing some of these issues, if we disengage from scouting, our Catholic kids are still going to be interested in scouting, and they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to be part of a troop that's chartered by someone else, and we no longer have a voice in their lives. So that's why it's important. Despite the fact that there are challenges, it's the world we live in. I have a Catholic school here where I have 300 kids in my Catholic school here, but 2,000 of the kids in my parish, very, very large parish, 2,000 of the Bernard Faith Formation Program. That means they're in public school, right? So they're, so we have to have, we can't walk away from situations. We need to be there to be a part of the discussion. So I think that's our answer, to those things, that if we walk away, we don't get to talk anymore. If we stay involved, we're able to set the parameters and still be engaged in their life.
Final question. I'd like to hear from both of you on this. John, let's start with you. I'd mentioned earlier the sort of cultural or societal challenges that we're facing today. We are a people of hope, specifically hope in the resurrection. So when you look at young men and women participating in Catholic Scouting and see how they are formed, what it is doing for them, and the fruits of that formation, John, what gives you hope?
Well, I think the fact that they're actively involved in the Religious Emblems program, that they want to learn about their religion. That you want to, go to Mass when they're out camping on that Sunday. You can see from the fact. Take a look at the National Jamboree. We had over 3,500 young people go to the Mass at the National Jamboree out of 16,000 that were there. And they weren't forced to go to Mass. They wanted to go to Mass. And I think that's the difference. You know, we had the denuncio was the person that celebrated Mass. So that was a draw. Plus Father Gerard was there. That was another draw. So, you know, I see it all the time that, you know, it's not just going camping. They want to know more about their religion too.
Father Gerard, what gives you hope?
Yeah, and I would say the opportunities that I've had on the national level have given me hope in that I'm from here in the Northeast, and, you know, young people, we have our own particular challenges in the Northeast as far as our culture and what our young people are engaged in. So being involved on a national level, I'm meeting kids from all around the country and meeting, you know, scouts from around the country specifically. And I think, so I'm going to talk about this outside of the Catholic thing, but more of the general secular scouting thing. Kids that are involved in scouting are good kids. They want to make a difference. And I was just, as I was walking around the Jamboree, which was last month, and again, 13,000 kids there, I just encountered more and more just nice kids having a good time, and not being, you know, attached to their phones or you know, sitting in their room playing a video game, but out there interacting with each other. And that's natural. That's what young kids want to do. So I would say that because of, you know, scouting, I've just been able to see that there is hope in this generation that is kind, is compassionate, wants to make a difference in the world, is joyful, and are intrigued by a life beyond their computer screen. So I would answer that, you know, from not necessarily from the mm-hmm. Catholic issue, but from the what scouting does for a young person.
Mm-hmm. I went to the National Jamboree. I want to say this was about 1988, and got to see the gentleman who founded the Boy Scouts. He was quite elderly. I think he was in his 90s at the time. He wasn't in great health, but that was a memory that I always have held on to over all these years, and it certainly was influential in my life. John, Father Gerard, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate the opportunity to speak the good news of scouting and the church.
Well, we do have an opportunity for you to join the National Committee.
Do you let men or women who didn't get their Eagle Scouts or is that an exclusive club? Because I can't remember what rank I was. I made it about halfway through, but I'm one
well,
of
your
those
first class
scouts
for
that
us.
Didn't make it all the way. What's that?
I said you're first class for it with us.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Sir.
Our culture is in a crisis, and the solution to that crisis is the gospel message. St. John's Seminary, the seminary of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, offers an online MA in pastoral ministry degree for anyone interested in receiving formation for ministry. This program helps students improve their knowledge of the Catholic intellectual tradition and develop practical skills for ministry. A studio with professional video, audio, and lighting equipment allows our students to have an enjoyable technological experience, a necessity for any online learning environment.
Anyone who is working in and around the Roman Catholic Church in North America needs an education like this. There's no way you could get this kind of education anywhere than at a seminary.
Our online Master of Arts in Pastoral Ministry offers you the chance to continue your education in ministry and designed to provide you with the knowledge, spiritual formation, and practical skills that you need to serve the family of God in our parishes, schools, and other ministries.
By grounding yourself in the intellectual tradition of the Catholic Church, you will be able to go out into this culture and leaven it with the good news.